Our scripture will be from Psalms chapter number 16. Find your place. I invite you to stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Psalms chapter number 16 and verse number 1. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. That to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied, that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the ninth season. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I ask Brandon, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer. Will not be long this evening, and what we do, normally I get to go down the verses, but this time it's going to be a little different. We're not going to hit all the verses that we read, but read them in context. That helps everything make sense. We look here in Psalms chapter 16, and I see that David's praying to God for some help in his life over some things, as far as him trying to get God's help, and him desiring God for the entirety of his life. And that's one of the things that I want to look at this evening, and with the Lord's help, some things that David's prayed about is us having no desire to serve God anymore in our lives. If you're a child of God, which is the first requirement to have that desire to serve him, at some point in time in your life, it's going to happen. If it hadn't yet, you're a young child of God, you're a Christian, you hadn't been in the fight long. But at some point in time, you're going to lose that desire to serve God. Doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. Doesn't mean you're not where God would have you at that point in your life. It just means your outlook on the circumstances has changed from what God's are. And that's put us in a different mindset to where we don't desire to serve God like we should. There are things that come into our hearts and our lives that cause us to get to that point. Probably the number one thing that I would say affects most Christians and gets them to that point is the valleys and trials that they have to face in their life. A valley and a trials that come into your life are something that's not planned for. There's something that comes in all of a sudden and turns your world upside down. You've got comfortable where you're at with God. You're comfortable in the ride that you're going on to finish this life out. And then all of a sudden there's a wrench gets through into the gears, and everything seems like it's turned upside down. Nothing's working right. And everybody always says, you could read verse number 6, and it says, "The line have fallen unto me in pleasant places, and I have a goodly heritage." People would say, well, when you're in the midst of that valley, and when you got the trials coming into your life, you can always look back and see where God has worked before in your life, and that'll help you to keep going on for Him. And that's fine, and that's right in saying so. But there are times in your life when the valleys are going to come and you're going to look back, and even though you see that God has worked before and that you see that God has provided for you time and time again, that He has been good for you in the past over and over, you're still not going to be able to worship God in the valley that you're in. There's going to be the times that you come into the house of God, that you show up out of formality because you know that's where you're supposed to be. You know that's where God would have you at. You know that in your heart that you could lead somebody astray if you're not there. But if the worship was to start, if somebody was to stand and testify, if people were crying out unto God, if songs was being sung and it was helping people get closer unto God, if a pastor goes to preaching and the Lord moves in through that and souls begin to get help, and you sit there and never feel the touch of God in your heart and in your life, you have no desire to feel the touch of God. You're in your own little world on that bench, and you're fine where you're at in your own mindset. That's what the valleys and that's what the trials of life can do to you and I. There's going to be two ways you're going to handle them. You're going to stick with God, or you're going to lose your desire to serve God. And I fear too many Christians, by the outlook of the way people act and the way that people conduct themselves, they lose their desire to serve God, and that desire never returns to their life for them to go further down the road with Christ. We see that there is valleys, that there is trials that will affect the way that we serve God, that will affect our joy, that will affect the happiness we feel at the house of God, affects everything that is triggered towards serving God. But then you look at your life and you look at the Word of God, and then there's going to be times in your life that you're just not going to have a desire to serve God whatsoever. Everything's good in your life. You can look at your life. Everything's going the way that it should. If somebody else looks at your life, they're thinking, well, he's got everything going his way at this point. Everything seems to be working out. I could be in verse number 6. I could look back and say that I have got a goodly heritage. The lines fall to me in pleasant places. And it seems like everything is going just the way that it should, but there is no desire in my life to serve God anymore. You say, what's happened in my life? Well, for one, you got complacent on God. When it comes down to the things of God, you and I have to be sensitive to God at all points in our life. And that doesn't say that there's been a division between you and God because of sin, because of something wrong, because of you've turned your back on God, because you've refused something, because you've walked away. That's not why you've lost that desire inside of your heart and your life. When it comes down to it, and you come to the house of God on Sundays and Wednesdays, you're there and you make it look right. Everybody thinks that you're where God would have you to be. But it's a drag to come to the house of God. It's a burden to have to stand and teach. It'll be a burden to get in the choir and sing. It'll be a burden to do anything around the house of God, because you don't have that desire. But there, the Word of God doesn't leave us in the dark on what's going on inside of our heart and our life. It would let us know time and time and time and time again. If you read the Word of God and study about desires for the Lord, that it's based on our satisfaction with God. That's all that it is. How we view God. How we okay God's plans within our own life, if you would. The thing about it is, when those trials come into your life and your world flips upside down, you was satisfied with where you was at. You was okay with the way that God had your life going. Then all of a sudden, everything's going a different direction at 90 mile an hour. And then that satisfaction is gone. It's no longer there. You don't have insight to the valley. You don't have insight to the trial. You don't know the outcome. Sure, the Lord's helped me before, but this one here, I can't handle it because it's worse than it's ever been in my life. How do you expect me to worship God? We have to get to the point in our life to where we're satisfied with the valleys that God puts in our life, knowing that He's in control. The same goes for just not having a desire for God, even though that we've done nothing wrong. We've not been satisfied with what God's done for us in our life. We've got to a point, and the world pushes us to this place a lot of times, especially younger Christians. You can have anything that you want. If you'll work for it, it'll all work out for you. And that's the problem. A lot of times we're like on Where the Red Fern Grows, where he treats the coons and he chops half the tree. And he says, Lord, I've done my half. I'm ready for you to step in. A lot of times we go to chopping and it seems like we've chopped it all but coming down. And we say, Lord, it's time for you to step in. And the Lord never moves in a certain area in our life. And we see that God is not going to work in that area and we give up on God. We're no longer satisfied with everything that He's done with us before. Everything that He's helped us with before. Everything that He's blessed us with up to that point. But at that point, I've quit. I've given up on God. I'm no longer satisfied with doing what He would have me to do. Just because I hadn't got my way. We've got selfish as Christians. You say, does this apply? Who does it apply to is the better question. Well, let me tell you, it applies to everybody. Like I said before, you're either serving God full-heartedly or you're not serving Him like you should and you've lost your desire. Come to find out when I was studying this, I wasn't as close as I needed to be because there's division of things, not that I'd sinned and that was the division, but I had desires that the Lord has not yet fulfilled and that was what was in my heart. It wasn't to help God, it wasn't to be a light like I should have been, but it was for these things to take place in my life. And you and I as Christians get to that point so often at times. In the next chapter over in Psalms chapter number 17, in verse number 15 it says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You say, what's this verse got to do with what we're talking about? It's talking about the satisfaction that's going to come from Christ. So if I'm reading chapter 16 and then this verse in chapter 17, right? It's just saying that as a child of God, there is going to be a continual struggle for us to have a desire to serve God while we're in this walk of life. It's going to be something that we have to keep in check. David says in that last verse, he says, when I behold thy face in righteousness, I'll be satisfied. David's just saying, I can have satisfaction down here for a short amount of time. He said, but when I get to life's other side, he said, when either I go by the grave or the church is raptured out, as far as we're concerned, we'll be satisfied for all eternity. That'll be that eternal satisfaction. But unto then, as a child of God, we're going to struggle. It's going to be hard for us to go keep going on through. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse for the child of God. But we might as well cling unto God and try to stay where He'd have us to be. And in the midst of all the struggling that you and I would do, and that lost the desire to serve. No matter how many times we look back at our life and we think that God's blessed us here and blessed us there, that does not seem to matter anymore. You say, why? Because it's not about God anymore. You could care less when you get to that point in your life. It's nothing about the church anymore. But I believe David prays some things in chapter number 16 unto God that you and I would be wise to keep in check inside of our heart and life. In verse number 1, he starts out, he says, preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. In verse number 1, David sums up the whole psalm in one verse, basically. He's just saying in verse 1, he says, I surrender myself unto Him. He said, preserve me. David's just saying, in my own self, he said, I can't preserve myself. If I follow after the desires of my heart instead of seeking after God, he says, my life will be destroyed. Verse number 11 of this chapter is the rest of the summary of this chapter. It's about the pathway of life and us following God. David said, Lord, I need your insight in my life. I need your hand in my life. I need you working in my life in order for me to ever bring honor and glory unto your name. If we're ever going to be where God is going to get honor and glory, if we're ever going to be where God is worshipped by you and I because we have that desire in our heart, we're going to have to surrender under Him. I'm not talking about in salvation. I'm talking about as a child of God saying, Lord, I'm yours. Take me and use me to bring honor and glory unto your name. But he would go down. Skip down to verse number 5 right here. David says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And of my cup thou maintainest my lot. And right here David brings up the Lord. He says, thou art the portion of mine inheritance. This comes before that verse we've been mentioning. Right here he's talking, he said, Lord, he said, everything that I've got, he said, is because of you. But the portion of the inheritance that he is talking about here is salvation. David looked to the cross, we look back on the cross. It's talking about the inheritance because it says, thou maintainest my lot in the latter part. And he talks about the cup in the middle part of the verse. That cup is mentioned several times in the Word of God. It's mentioned over in Psalms 23, very familiar to everybody. My cup runneth over. Talking about mercy and the grace and blessings. But it is looking forward to a cup that comes later on, mentioned in the Gospels by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, looking at the cross at Calvary. When he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Talking about the cross. If there's any other way to get rid of the sin debt, he said, let it pass from me. But we know that that cup was full of pain and agony and misery for our Lord. And still yet he went to the cross so that David says, so that my cup can be full of mercy and grace being extended unto me. David's talking about a personal relationship with God. He's talking about salvation that you and I have inside of our heart and lives. You want to know why we lose a desire? You want to know why we lose a focus? It's because we lose our vision on what God has done for us on a personal level. I can step back and I can see God working in your life. I can stand back, I can see God work in the church. I can see God help others that are out in the community. And it doesn't do a hill of beans for me sometimes. But it's when I get to remembering back what God done for me when He died on the cross of Calvary. And what He done for me as a boy inside of my heart. And all the times that God has met me on a personal level that nobody else knows what all went on inside of my heart except me and God. When I begin to remember those times, my heart begins to soften up. And I begin to be satisfied with God again. Knowing that He is my Savior and my Lord. That's provided for me each and every step of the way. I want to tell you, it's about our outlook as a child of God. It's not about what anybody else is doing. But it's about how I view myself, and it's about how I view Him. Our vision's got clouded today. Our vision as a community, our vision as a church, and our individual vision has got cloudy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That people no longer make Him a personal God. He's no longer a God that will meet with me anytime that I need. But that He's a God that shows up on Sunday, and He's a God that'll be there on Wednesday, and that's it. But the God that I'm serving, He's a personal God that's never left me alone at any point in time of my life. He's been there. And I can rest assured and be satisfied that I got a Savior that cares for me on a personal basis. We go on down to verse number 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Verse number 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. When I read these two verses and put them together here, I think about those that have lost their sight and their vision and satisfaction of God because of valleys and trials. Verse number 7, he says, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Verse 10, he says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. He's just saying here, he's saying that even though I can't see what's ahead of me, even though I don't know what's coming my way, even though I don't know what the valley holds down the road, I don't know what else is going to arise in the trials that I'm having to deal with in my life. He said, God is driving this thing in my life. He said, He's taking care of it each and every step of the way. He said, I'm satisfied that God is in control in these two verses. And verse 11 is the key to that. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence in fullness of joy. He said, God, he said, I need your help in order to trust in you. The times that I've struggled having a desire to serve God, I can sit inside of the house of God and somebody can stand up and can testify. There can be worship taking place. The preacher can stand and he can preach what God's laid on his heart. And I can see others getting help. And I can sit there knowing that I need God to renew something inside of me. But I don't want nothing renewed inside of me. You say, why? Because it takes God to give me that desire in order for me to get closer to Him. So our prayer, if we feel ourselves are slipping, it's not, Lord, just bring me back, but it ought to be, Lord, bring me back and show me the pathway so I can be satisfied in you, so that I can have a life that is full of joy and happiness in serving you, so that I can worship you on a daily basis. I want to tell you, once you get to the where you can see what God's doing in your life and get on the same page, it's going to be easy to serve. I'm talking about the times when it seems like God was sitting right beside of you when you were somewhere and you couldn't help but serve Him. I want to tell you, your life can turn around that fast with just a prayer. Lord, I've given myself to You. Show me the path that I need to walk. Help me to be faithful to what You'd have me to be in order to bring honor and glory to Your name. That's all it amounts to. It's not about me. Too often at times my focus is on me. Too often at times Your focus is on You and what all's went wrong. But I want to tell you, my focus needs to be back on what God's done for me. Back on being satisfied in the presence of God. Back on being satisfied in what God's done for me throughout my life thus far. Back to where it doesn't take nothing to get me to where I can worship God. Back to a place as soon as God nudges, I don't bargain with God, but I'm going to worship Him at the drop of a hat. I want to tell you, that ought to be what's inside of our heart. If it's not, you're not being the light and example that you need to be to those that are around you.